Hello and welcome to WNHH Radio's Dateline New Haven. I'm your host, Paul Bass, inviting you to look behind the headlines on the stories that make New Haven tick. The four people in the WNHH studio today spent a lot of time helping make our city tick. Say good morning to Dixwell Alder Jeanette Morrison, Hill Alders Evelyn Rodriguez, and David Reyes, all of whom have announced they are running for re-election, and Ron Hurt of the Hill, who is looking to join them in office and become an alder himself. Welcome to the studio, everyone. So nice to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
You know, we don't have many contested elections in New Haven. As far as I know, I don't think any of you have opponents. But elections still matter. It's a great time to talk about. Every 2 years, the voters get to see you. You get to talk about why you represent them. You get to hear what they want you to do. And you get to think about why you're being crazy busy 2 years at a time, going to endless meetings in the community, at City Hall, trying to figure out how to make New Haven a better place. So I appreciate that you're here to do that today. So we'll call this the campaign trail. Now, Jeanette Morrison, you qualify as the veteran. If everyone in this room, you've been in office the longest time. You've been an alder since 2011, correct? Or you were elected in 2012. Right, you were elected in 2011. And again, I'm going to ask you to get so close to that mic, your lips are almost touching it. But Jeanette, how's that going now? So it's been 6 years. You're looking to do another 2 years. You guys work crazy hours. I have to be honest, I would never want to be an alder, even though it seems fun to really do important work, hear what people have to say, watch how the city runs. I don't think I would want to give up as much time as you guys give sitting through all those meetings and taking abuse sometimes, you know. But tell me, you obviously feel differently because you're going for a fourth term. What is it about being an alder that motivates you to run again?
Well, for me, I'm by trade, I'm a social worker. And so, and being a social worker, it's just in me to want to help. When I was in grad school at Boston University, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. But I always said, whatever it is, I want to be able to be in someone's boardroom and advocate for my community. Because when I look on the TV, I don't see many people doing that. Now, this was back in 1990, 91, 92.
So, when you say you don't see many people doing that, you mean many grassroots people being in the picture?
Well, no. When back in the late 80s, 90s, you didn't see a whole lot of advocacy in regards to, communities such as New Haven. I grew up, born and raised in New Haven with my mom and my sister. My dad's always been involved, but we lived in... Housing Authority.
Which one?
Housing.
Which development?
I didn't live in the projects. They were an apartment complex off of Dixwell Avenue. We called it 420 Dixwell Avenue. So I grew up there, Section 8. You know, the same story as a lot of people in New Haven. Went to Hill House. But then my mom, she's always been a therapist. And so when I went to college, I decided, well, maybe I can get into social work. Because I always liked helping people, and that's something that I got into. I went to Morgan State University for undergraduate, got my degree in social work, and then went to Boston University and got my master's degree in social work.
One thing I noticed about you, and I noticed this about a lot of people get involved in politics, is that they tend to join groups. Mm-hmm. That you believe me, part of civic. I mean, I noticed on the Martin Luther King Day, you're always there at Wexler Grant School trying to teach young people how civics works,
right?
How you register to vote, things like that. What, and you're involved, I guess, in a sorority, right?
Yes, Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
What led you to conclude in 2011 that running for public office would be a good way to accomplish those goals of affecting decisions and being involved? What motivated you to include that in your book?
Well, my story is probably a little different than most people. Almost 20 years prior to, like I said, I was in school and then I moved back to New Haven and started my job at DCF. I saw something on television, and come to find out it was a board meeting. And I didn't know a lot
about... public access board meetings?
I think so.
Where the speeches get twice as long once the cameras come on. Right?
Yes, I guess it was. But I really liked what I saw. I said, now that's something I would like to be involved in. But then I said, well, that's politics. And in politics, a lot of times, I think you got to kiss a lot of butt. I don't do that. So I kind of tucked that away in my own mental Rolodex. And then about 18 years later, Jackie James, we worked together at DCF.
And that's the State Department of Children and Families.
Yes, yes. And so we worked together at DCF, and I was a union steward. And she asked me, you know, she said, would you like to run for an alderperson? I was like, oh, I don't know. It kind of shocked me because this was my own personal secret to myself 18 years ago that it would be something that I'd like to be involved in because it looked like you can really help your community and people at large. And so then I just got involved in the whole process and I haven't looked back. And uh-huh. So helping people is just what I do.
Well, you talked about kissing butt. You talked about politics. Right. Politics can sometimes be a dirty word. People sometimes right. say that's political, meaning that's bad, narrow interest. But other people see it as a positive word.
Right.
Politics is the way that we as a society come together to figure out how we're going to make decisions and everyone's interest gets represented.
And that's how I see politics now.
And has it worked out that way? I mean, clearly, if you're running for fourth two-year term, you feel that you're able to make a difference, correct?
Yes.
Tell me
yes.
about that. When you've been on the board, what has struck you? Has there been a moment, Jeanette, where you said, okay, this is why I do it? Or where you said, okay, this is harder than I thought. I just learned something. Any kind of big moments since you've been in office like that?
Yeah, a lot of moments. But especially when you're able to help people get jobs and you're able to be that go-between and someone can get a job and be happy about themselves and, you know, really have that positive self-esteem. It was especially a great moment when the governor awarded the Dixville community $15.5 million to rehab the Q House building. And then a whole lot of other stuff.
Well, not just
in
rehab,
between.
We're rebuilding a whole Dixville community house. So one issue you identified and some of the people you're affiliated with when you got elected was that New Haven has lost its youth centers.
Right.
We want them back. And the Dixville Q House is really a symbol to people, right? Because right. a lot of people grew up as you did.
Right.
In that neighborhood going to the Q House. Did you go to the Q House?
Oh, yes. I'm a Q House kid.
What's to do there?
Oh, I was supposed to go to the Olympics because I was going to be a gymnast. That's what my gymnastics teacher taught us in the Q House where we would go every Saturday for free. Okay. When we would go every Saturday for free and during the weeks. You know, we learned gymnastics. We learned so many different things.
What was your favorite gymnastics event or move?
Floor.
Oh, what is floor? Is that like when you floor, bend your leg out and stuff?
Well, floor is when you do the...
See how ignorant I am. Bend your leg out and stuff.
Handsprings, back tucks, you know, all those different things where I actually was able to take all those skills that I learned and I became a cheerleader at Hill House and I utilized all those skills.
And how did it affect your life as a kid to be going to the Q House several times a week, working hard at gymnastics, being around adults and structured events, structured activity? How did you see, what kind of difference did that make for you and your fellow kids who were involved? And do you see a gap in that now?
Yes. So going to Hill House and being around the adults and all the things that you just mentioned helped me to become the person I am because all those skills that you learn from those environments and from programming and from, you know, things of that sort, you need those skills as, you know, in your adulthood. And so I was able to gain a lot of those things outside of just my parents.
And one thing I noticed in politics is on a body like the Board of Alders or in Congress, when an issue is important to someone's constituents, if someone's from a part of town or part of the country where people care about something a lot, their colleagues let them take the lead on it.
Right.
So the Q House was in your ward.
Right.
You had lived the experience.
Yes.
You became the voice of bringing the Q House back. It took years, like architect studies, getting a group in place to do it, getting the governor to come down.
I wasn't there. I don't want to take the full credit. I'm not the only voice. There have been plenty of groups, the concerned citizens and other youth groups that had taken on the reins of this process.
Well, you can't do stuff like that alone.
Right. No, it takes everyone. So for me, in getting in this role as the alderperson, I was able to use this role to navigate that process in order for us to get to the point that we were able to get the money from the state government.
And one thing I noticed about you, Jeanette, is some alders really excel at constituent service about the issues in their ward. some alders stand out and sort of tackling the big citywide issues. What are we going to do with the whole budget? What are we going to do with credit rating? How's the police department going to run? It seemed that pretty early on, you became someone who did both. I mean, like you chaired, I believe, the finance committee.
No, I didn't chair finance.
Oh, you didn't chair, you were vice chair?
No. So. I'm vice chair for legislation.
But you were often the person speaking up and being involved on budget issues, on citywide issues. Am I wrong about that?
Oh, well, yeah, I'm on the finance committee.
I mean,
you
kind of studied up pretty quick about budget issues and things like that.
Well, like I said, my education, I think, because I have my master's in social work and I do have an MBA. So I think a lot of those things just attract me. But let's talk to...
We are going.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to get to everyone.
Right.
And we're going to get to them all here on Dateline New Haven on WNHH Radio, your home for community radio at 103.5 FM and live streamed at newhavenindependent.org. And we're talking today to people who are running for re-election to Alder, Board of Alders this year, as well as one fellow, Ron Hurt, who's running for a first term. Now, the other three guests in the studio today are all from the Hill neighborhood. And one thing that has interested me this year, we saw some of this 2 years ago. I didn't used to quite see it the same way, but maybe I'm missing something in how I follow politics, that clusters of alders from parts of town are running as teams. So we had an announcement where the West River, Dwight, Edgewood alders, they had done that 2 years ago, the Three Musketeers, right? Yvette Hamilton, Frank Douglas, and Taisha Walker. So they announced together, we're running. They form a pack together. They talk about how we're going to be a team for our neighborhood. I've seen that a couple other parts of town, including the Hill. So a couple weeks ago, we had an article about a press conference you had in the Hill where the three of you plus Dolores Colon, who represents the fourth Hill in the ward, decided as a team to announce. How did that decision come about, and what does that mean for what kind of alders you look to be on the Board of Alders?
Well, thanks, Paul, for having us here. We have a vision for the Hill and, you know, community policing, you know, the new developments that are coming to the Hill, you know, with Church Street South and with the Hill to Downtown development. So we're all on the same page and, you know, we're a team. As you mentioned with Jeanette,
Jeanette was talking about one person doesn't do it alone. So do you kind of define yourself geographically? Like there is this part of town. I mean, the Hill has many neighborhoods, right? And you have specific issues in that. Dolores has City Point and Church Street South. I believe she still has, unless I'm wrong. You know, Ron here in Ward 3, if he wins, he has no opponent, will have the Housing Authority property that got rebuilt there, you know, and he's got Yale Hammond Hospital, I believe, and Evelyn's got sort of, was it called the Upper Hill, or how'd you call your...
Well, I have, I have the west, the area of
Yella
Grasso Boulevard.
Oh, okay.
Toward West Haven, Davenport, close to Yale New Haven Hospital, White Street, and going back Columbus.
So there you got like the city's homeless Columbus House. You got all those traffic issues at the boulevard where people got run over, someone died. You got the old Jewish Home for the Aged, which now just had the big fire where the elderly people live. You got Christian Community Action, Daniel School.
Yes, John Daniels, the public library, the Wilson Public Library.
And which is really a center in the town, right? And a really hopping place.
Yeah, it is.
That's a great success story. What happened with Hill? And what about you, Dave? What part of the Hill do you have?
I have Ward 5. So where the firehouse begins, that part of Howard, you know, pretty much down to, up Howard Avenue. Dolores and I, we kind of overlap a little bit within our wards. So I work very closely with her. But again, I cover Lambertson, Cedar Street, Rosette, Hollock Avenue, Greenwich, so that area out there,
so
Morris
Kimberly
Street.
Square.
Kimberly Square.
And tell me if I'm wrong, that neighborhood, that area has seen a modest increase in homeownership, if I'm not wrong. Livable City Initiative, a city agency, has helped working people, including firefighter, buy homes right near that firehouse. You
correct.
Got Hill Central School, which has had quite a turnaround.
Oh,
the community be involved in that school.
Absolutely. You know, we have Hill Central. We have Betsy Ross as well. So we're definitely seeing, you know, the community definitely, you know, coming together, being more involved within the school systems. Our management team,
and you have
very
two management
active.
Teams. And here's one mystery maybe you guys clear up for me. There's a Hill North and a Hill South. They each have very active management teams. One meets on Congress Avenue at a substation. One meets on Kimberly Avenue, corner of Howard.
Yeah, so we meet at we've grown so much. We actually meet at Betsy Ross.
Oh, Betsy Ross now, which is a great Paris house.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my favorite rebuildings that the city did of an old property.
Yeah.
But here's the part I never got. When I look at a map, I see east and west. I don't see north and south. Am I wrong? Am I just like, is my head crooked? Or is should they really be called Hill East and Hill West as opposed to Hill North and Hill South?
You know, I'll take your word for it. I haven't really looked.
What do you think, Evelyn? You grew up there. What do you think?
Actually, we should call it what the people want, the entire hill. It should be one hill.
It should be one policing district. Yeah. You know, that's interesting because we have other districts that are so huge. I mean, you got New Hallville, East Rock, Upper State, and Cedar Hill all in one district. Now they're going to split that in half.
You have
Bishop Woods and Morris Cove and the Annex all one district is split in half, but the hill is split in two.
Well, we have the hill the Hill neighborhood. There's good reasons, I find, that we have the districts, the police districts.
So you're okay with two?
Well, we have to look at what's going on.
It's currently one.
Because we have two districts. Okay. We have there is a concern here, and we are working on that. We have the Hill North team, and we have the Hill Management team.
So
we have, for example, in my ward, I have a mix. I have about 15 streets in my ward that belong and will be serviced if they go to the Hill North Management team. And I have about 15 others that would be serviced and would go to the Hill South Management team.
So you go to both?
Both.
That's what I mean when I was talking about all these meetings you guys go to, because you got to go to those. Yeah. I mean, that's democracy, and that's grassroots democracy. I know Ron Hurt has been very active as a leader in his management team, that this is where it starts. This is where you find out what people think and what they care about.
And the way that the districts, the police districts, I believe, function is because they're looking at the safety. So, and how they're servicing, depending on the territory that covers each of those districts, they're then providing the safety services
through
the police department.
David spoke about how while there are individual issues in your ward, there are also common issues to the hill.
Definitely.
One of those big issues is the rebuilding of the hill. There's a project called Hill to Downtown, meaning all the way from the train station up to where the Yale Medical Complex is. A lot of stuff that got torn down in the 50s and 60s. They want to build it back up. So there's a project with Randy Salvatore, developer, I forget how many, I think 10, 11, 12 acres, that has been lying fallow since the 80s. They're building that up to hundreds of new apartments and stores and offices. Church Street South is going to be coming down. They're building that back up. They have other projects in that area near where Salvatore was. How do you three Hill candidates feel about how that project going and what role do you want to play in it moving forward?
Well, I guess I'll start off. You know, we all have a seat at the table, you know, to talk about the developments, because obviously we represent the Hill. So we're very much engaged, you know, with the working group, which I'm sure you're aware of. And I think it's going to be great for the Hill, you know, being born and raised, you know, within the Hill, to see where it was, you know, from me growing up to where it's at now. I'm looking forward to that development.
When did you grow up? How old are you?
I'm 30. I'll give my age away.
Okay. So when you grew up, they had already leveled much of the Hill.
Yeah.
Because there's another generation before you. Yeah. But Evelyn, do you remember before they tore all that stuff down?
Yes.
So do you think we're coming back? Do you want the neighborhood to return to what it was then? That kind of idea? I'm not saying exactly. Do you feel that we're returning to a busier hill, more to do, more housing, more activity? Do you think it's positive in general?
Definitely. I believe, yes, definitely. I believe we're more, it's going to be more positive. The project that's coming is going to bring more people into the city. So there's a lot of good things that are happening, and that's precisely why we decided to do the Hill Slate and come together, because we need to put our energies together so that the Hill neighborhood can receive what it's entitled to receive.
And boy, is there a lot
and the attention it needs.
And boy, is there a lot on the table with that project, because a lot hasn't happened yet. So yes. Salvatore has three phases or two. In any case, they're just starting with the first phase. And you're trying to make sure there's 30%, that's that magic number now, subsidized housing, affordable housing.
Yes. Yeah.
You struck that deal because when they tear down Church Street South, that's going to be huge. They want to build 900 to 1,000 apartments there. There used to be 301. They want to have stores. They want to make it a nice entryway of the city. A lot on the table there. I know that you have made your neighborhood's voice heard, that it's got to be 30% subsidized.
Right.
they have been to our the management teams have got have gotten the input of the neighbors and the residents. They have worked across the board. A lot of networking and engagement has happened to improve the project. In fact, they've gone back to the board over and over again to specifically come up with a significant project that will impact the city in a very positive way and the residents. There will be people there that will be able to live in the condos for the purpose, and they'll be able to afford it.
And to piggyback a little bit off that, you know, Serena and LCI have done
Sanger, who runs the Livable City Initiative.
Yeah, so she's done a great job, like Evelyn said, coming into the management team meetings, giving updates, showing photos. Randy comes as well.
Salvatore's the builder.
So from a communication standpoint, again, they're coming to the management teams, community inputs being given. So again, going back to with Jeanette, it's a team effort. So everyone, you know, feels that they have, you know, a say into this project, which is great because we're all going to feel great, you know, when the outcome, you know, when it's completely done.
It's interesting to me how things take years. It could feel like a long time, a lot of meetings. It took years, but in the swath of history, it's not as long as it looks.
Yeah.
When you think about 30-something years, that land's been fallow. If it's 2 or 3 years to get that up, and Salvatore works fast because there's money ticking, the clock's ticking. You do see the results.
Absolutely.
And you do get to hear about that on Dateline New Haven here on WNHH Radio, your home for community radio at 103.5 FM, live streamed on newhavenindependent.org. We're here with three members of the Board of Alders who are running for election and a fourth who wants to join them, Jeanette Morrison of Dixwell, and Evelyn Rodriguez and David Reyes and Ron Hurt of The Hill. So Ron Hurt, another issue that both Evelyn and David mentioned was policing. That's a big issue in The Hill, as it is in much of the city. You have management teams that are so active, they really hold the police feet to the fire. Is that your main way you got involved in activism in New Haven?
Well, my main way, thank you, Paul, for having me on the show. My main way for getting involved was for 12 years, I lived in The Hill.
Where are you from originally, Ron?
Virginia.
Yep, I got the accent.
For 12 years, I lived in The Hill, worship in The Hill. My church is Deliverance Temple on Congress
Avenue.
Are
you a reverend? What's your role there?
I'm an elder.
Okay.
Yes, I'm the ordained elder there. I'm assistant to the pastor.
What's an ordained elder? Does that mean you're an ordained minister, or what is that?
Absolutely. So I'm an ordained minister. I have the rights and privileges of all pastors. I just don't have a church.
Because the first time I heard you speak, I said, that minister can preach. That was at the immigration rally. We used you as the money quote. I think what you said about after the Trump immigration plan, you said, you mess with my brothers and sisters, you mess with me.
Absolutely. And I hold to that. I believe we all should have a fair chance.
So 12 years, what brought you to New Haven?
Actually, I came to for the ministry and just for another opportunity in life. And for that, I found opportunity here in New Haven, working in the ministry as well as I go back to my times at AIDS Interfaith Network, Elsie Cofield's work.
Oh, she was 12 years ago. Okay, she was still around.
Yes.
Yeah, Elsie's been gone a while. Yeah.
I was the Faith in Action underdog, I guess if you would say. I did the grant writing, helped write the grants, and we did great jobs in working with people living with the virus, and I've held hands of those who were passing away, just doing work in the community.
Where are we now? Because actually Jeanette and Evan Lana will remember when AIDS work was much different when it started out. People didn't want to talk about it. People were dying pretty quick. Now we have these entrenched organizations like AIDS Project New Haven that have been working with this population for decades, and people are living. Where are we now in dealing with AIDS?
We still got a ways to go. I feel like we've slid it under the table. And
tell me about that. How's that happen?
Well, a lot of people don't want to talk about it.
Why is that? It used to be that had a stigma because drug users and homosexuals.
Well,
that changed over time.
It certainly has changed all walks of life. If you look at the person next to you, you don't know whether he or she has it. But the fact of it is, it's progressed as far as people living longer with medication, the regimens of medication. But it's still an issue within our communities. and we need to address it head on.
And then you got involved with New Haven Rising, correct?
Yes.
That's an activist group in the town. Yes. They deal with issues like employment and holding Yale and Yale New Haven accountable. And then you also are the vice chair of, now I always get North and South mixed up. Is it Hill North?
Hill North. Vice chair.
I'm going to argue to my death that it's East and West. and so how did you get involved with the management team, what that's been like?
Well, as I started first, we have an outreach at my church, and we feed 3 times a week, and we have a residential, and we do outreach in the ministry.
What's a residential? I mean, people live at the church?
Live at the house. We have a church house next door to the church.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And so I'm the director of that, and so we do Bible study, life enrichment resources. We just do a whole lot of good things in the community. And I remember Dawson. I believe it was Tony Dawson.
He was the Ward 3 alder back when Gina and I were still starting to pay attention in the 80s. Yeah, he's now the head of the Board of Police Commissioners.
Right. He was coming out of the police substation one day, and I was going in for Bible study, and he was like, "Hey, come over here, let me talk to you. You need to get involved." I said, "Okay." I went and heard what they had to say.
Interesting the way that elders kind of play in a community. You're an elder in a church, but in the political world too, there are people like Jackie James says to Jeanette, "You should take this next step and run." Tony Dawson says to you, "You're a guy in the Hill who should get more involved."
Absolutely. And I got involved, and I strayed away because I was focusing on the outreach side of the ministry. Then like 3 years ago, I got back involved, and that sparked the fire in me to do more for the community.
And then how to get to the step that you're going to run for alder?
Well, it got to that. I saw where the management team was leading me in leadership.
So you had a calling.
Yes, I feel like I had a calling, and it sparked the fire in me to want to be more of a better help for the community. Trust me, it's not no gratification. It's just to help the people in the community. The Hill is a diverse and a vibrant community, and with a little more care, a little more interest from the Hill Alders United, we can push the Hill to make it great and make it just awesome.
Hill Alders United and Jeanette Morrison from Dixwelly here on Dateline New Haven, WNHH Radio, 103.5 FM, live stream, newhavenmen.org. Evelyn Rodriguez, you grew up in the Hill.
Yes, I did.
And so you had sort of a lifetime being involved in stuff, right? Your whole family is sort of involved in everything in New Haven. So this was later in life you decided, I'm going to run for office. How did that happen? The seat became vacant, right? Someone became a city official. I couldn't keep track of everybody. Jackie. No, who was it who had that ward?
Andrea.
Oh, Andrea Jackson Brooks.
Andrea
passed.
Jackson.
Okay. I mean, left, resigned. So you got named, right?
Well, since I was a little girl, I've always been helping people. I was in a missionist program at the Star of Jacob Church, who they focus on little girls and build them with strong skills. And they reviewed women who are strong in the Bible.
And like Deborah?
Like Deborah, Esther, Tabitha, different, Sarah. And basically what they would do was instill in us very good values, specifically also of giving.
And I wasn't crazy how Sarah dealt with Hagar, but I think part of the point of the Bible is to show you people aren't perfect. Right?
Exactly.
Trying to teach us something.
No one is perfect, exactly. And so as my life went on, I got involved in politics per se, and I consider politics a science of governing a people. It takes special people to be in politics. While politics to many can be considered a corrupted thing and a negative thing, I think that people that are great and that really value themselves and that can give to others should go into politics.
And this is fine line because it's important to keep your elected officials accountable. It's important to ask them questions. But we have a culture now, I would argue, where people devote themselves to public service, get trashed so much that people just don't want to take part in it. A few people set us up, be pretty mean. And I always think, you know, it's like Daisy Gonzalez just died. She was the head of the Board of Ed.
Sorry.
And when something like that happens, all of a sudden people become human again. all of a sudden people aren't trashing someone in public life and having other agendas. They're all talking about how great she was for public service. And I was thinking, it'd be nice if sometimes people gave that kind of love while people were alive. Yeah, but it doesn't mean you have to agree with everything they do. Well, you were nodding your head, Jeanette, or Dave, what were you saying about that?
Yes.
I was just saying to give people their flowers while they're living.
And I noticed before we went on the air today, you guys had a prayer circle. Tell me something about the role that faith or religion plays in the work you do.
We believe in God. And, you know, I was born and raised also in the same church with Evelyn.
Star Jacob,
right? The 506 Howard Ave. And, you know, we may not be the perfect Christians, you know, we sin daily, but ultimately we believe in God and, you know, we live through scriptures, we live through teachings, you know, that we've had throughout our lives and, you know, God is our foundation and, you know, we live daily through that. You know, everybody has their, you know, trials and tribulations, but ultimately we ask God to guide us and continue leading us, you know, in a way, this is a ministry that we're doing, right? You know, we're out there, you know, advocating for our communities, for the city. And, you know, we're not doing it from a pulpit, but we're out there. And now we have, you know, Brother Ron Hurt, who does it from a pulpit, and he's, you know, going to be coming out into the community and doing it with us. So I just think it's great.
We are counting on Ron Hurt to up the energy a little bit with those great speeches, right?
Absolutely. And it's good
I already predict that's going to be his role. The guy
and it's good to know. If I need a brother to pray for me, I can wake him up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and throw a prayer in my way. Too. So,
what do you think about that, Ron Hurt? Alder, 2-3 in the morning?
Of course. Of course. Yes. I have no problems with that. I believe God doesn't sleep, nor he slumbers. So he gives me the strength to carry on day to day. And I'm a man for the people. I'm not in it for myself. I have to deny myself and I have to look at the greater picture, and it's not about Ron Hurt, but it's about God, family, and community. So I have to take a step back and perform my duties to the best of my abilities with God in front of me.
I'm sorry.
No, I don't apologize.
While I'm a woman of faith and I value my life, I'm in this because my life is given more value when I work and help others. And faith is a very interesting thing. Throughout my life, I have grown tremendously to respect that there are people that may not believe the way that I do, but that they're just as human as I am and that we have to respect each other's faith. And New Haven has diversity.
New Haven's a great place
New Haven establishes that faith is significant in all of our, I can tell you, many of my neighbors, they all have their faith. And that part of the growth and the powers to be are the leaders that are of faith and that are moving our communities to build and strengthen their faith, which is tremendously helpful in all the issues that we have to address as alders.
So we're talking about issues that alders face with David Reyes, Ron Hurt, Evan Rodriguez, and Jeanette Morrison, all of whom are going to be on the ballot this year. It does not look like any of you have opponents, but maybe that'll change, maybe not. We talked about issues that are in neighborhoods versus citywide issues. Sometimes those overlap. So one issue I noticed that you folks continue to deal with both in Dixwell and in the Hill is problems people have parking in their neighborhoods. It's a complicated challenge, one you've been working on very hard, which is that a lot of people come to work during the day at Yale or Yale New Haven Hospital, park in the street. So let's say in the Hill, we talk to people who, elderly people that go out to the supermarket at 8:30, they come back 9:30, they can't park anywhere near their house and carry their bags up. You've worked with the New Haven Hospital in Yale to try to give incentives to workers to use mass transit, and that doesn't always work well. They put out, made my jaw drop at a hearing a few weeks ago to learn that Yale had sent 3,300 offers to its employees, people who park in their lots, to give them discounted CT transit passes if they bus instead. And only 5 took them up on it. So where are we on that challenge about parking and what needs to happen next?
Well, this is a topic that was dealt with through the legislation committee.
Which you chair?
Yeah, I'm vice chair.
Vice chair.
And so like in everything, a It's a partnership. And so because Yale University and Yale Hospital, those are two of the biggest employers in the issue.
They are the two biggest employers.
Right. with the issue of parking, we all have to come together to try to come up with a plan. I know in my community, especially on my street on Winchester, we don't have residential parking. And right now the residents didn't ask for that.
Right.
And
that's what solution people say, you know, you reserve it, you have to get a sticker. But if I'm not mistaken, some of your constituents said, we have people visit us, friends, family, and we don't want to have that restriction.
Right, because you only get two passes. And so so it becomes a big parking lot on Winchester Avenue because it's unrestricted. But in, you know, making efforts and working with Yale, and Yale came to a hearing recently to talk about the different initiatives like you just named one. And it's just going to take everyone constantly working together and really drilling down to how do we get people to not park in the areas. I get it. If it's costly, you know.
Right. A lot of people don't want to park in the Yale lots, even if they get subsidized somewhat. They'd rather not pay.
Right.
And they'd rather be a few blocks closer.
Right. Right.
So
right.
I love this issue because I feel like this is the greatest example of what an alder does. You're looking at policy. You're dealing with people who make big decisions. You make some of those decisions. There aren't easy answers, and you're just trying to work it out. And I know you had an overall parking plan, which you created, so you've used the power of government to force big institutions to come to the table and try to figure out those answers, and now you're going to see what works.
Right.
I've always wondered about CT Transit, because I take the bus sometimes when I don't walk. I think it's a terrible bus system. I think they don't have enough people riding it, maybe, so it's a vicious circle. Because not enough people ride it, they don't have enough bus service or good connections, so then they don't have enough buses in return because not enough people ride it. I've looked at Ithaca, New York, where Cornell University pays the public bus system, and they pay for everyone to ride free, teachers and students. My daughter was up there a bunch of years. Mm-hmm. And there's great bus service. There's plenty of it. And then other people go the opposite direction and say, well, Yale's a shuttle, and especially if you're white, you can ride it. Even if you go to Yale, they just let you come on. But it's not all over town, right? It's not on the west side, and it's not for people who don't look like they go to Yale, right? And so some people say, why don't you expand that and have Yale be the bus system? Other people say, well, bus systems should be public. Why doesn't Yale support a public system? Any thoughts on that, how we make Connecticut Transit a viable option for people? In the Hill, Evelyn. I've talked to people in the Hill who try to work at some job on Universal Drive in North Haven. It could take them hours, and that's during the week, to try to get bus connections to go a few miles. And the weekend, forget it. You can't even do it.
We are continuing conversations. And businesses are important in the city. We want to keep them. We want to keep them happy. And we want to have more businesses. Okay, so the transportation, transit, everything that has to do with anything of movement of a people comfortably is significant to the Board of Alders. And we are one of the things that I highly encourage the residents and constituents, voters, and neighbors to do is to come to our meetings. Our meetings are open to the public. We've had a couple of meetings with Yale and the issues of parking, and they have been well attended. And we listen to the people, and we try to do the very best to hear what they have to say, and then to integrate their concerns to the very projects and how can we work together so that we can address this. Yes, it is definitely an issue. We still have it on the table. We are still working effectively in terms of communication with city, municipal, and with the businesses.
And we're working together on Dateline New Haven to talk about the Board of Alders and city issues here with Jeanette Morrison.
Thank you.
Evelyn Rodriguez, David Reyes, and Ron Hurt. I just want to, before we leave, I want to talk about some new issues on the table that you'll be working on. Jeanette has an interesting proposal, which you're arguing that more people might participate in government if we let them park free around the green Monday through Thursday, if I don't have it wrong, 6 to 9 p.m. Now, the person who runs traffic for the city has not embraced that idea. He said that he worries that restaurant workers will just take those spaces and that you could park free at the Yale Library lot, even though it has near the library, although it has a big sign that says you can't. Yale's claiming, guess you can. Where do we stand with that proposal and what's going to happen next? I know there was a Board of Traffic Authority Commissioners meeting this week where they put it on hold.
Right. So right now, there is a plan to do some type of pilot. So I'm in the process of working with the with Doug Housladen, the director of traffic and parking, around what this pilot would look like. Like I tell everyone, myself and eight other alders signed on to a letter, our concern is we want to take every barrier away that's going to stop people from coming downtown and participating in democracy.
And why do you want that? Why do you spend your Martin Luther King Day trying to teach young people how to register to vote and why they should? Why are you spending time trying to make it easier for people to come to public meetings?
Because we can't make decisions in a vacuum. It takes the opinions of everyone to figure out what's going to work best. Just because the 30 of us as a board, we come together and we come up with things, but we can have 50, 100 other people come and give us totally different ideas, things that we weren't thinking about. And so a lot of times as alders, when we have to make decisions on the board, you know, during our public hearing process, if no one shows up and no one's complaining, we just figure, okay, everyone's okay with whatever the decision is. And then after the fact, you hear a lot of people say, well, that shouldn't happen or that shouldn't go that way or, you know, things of that sort. Well, the reason why we went along with it is because we didn't hear anything against whatever the proposal was. So I feel very strongly when people are given the opportunity to come downtown and give their opinion, express their opinion about whatever the topic is, it just helps us as a board be better. Because our role is to take care of the needs of the people. It's not about us. It's about taking care of the needs of the people. We might see things one way. The people might see it totally different. And when we all can come together, then we serve to make a better plan.
David, Evelyn, Ron, any thoughts as we close out about specific issues that are going to be on your radar if you're elected and reelected come this, if being unopposed, you succeed in getting elected?
You know, I continue to speak on community policing and how important it is.
Do we have community policing?
So in the Hill, we do. It's definitely still, you know, a work in progress. You know, with the new, you know, police recruitment class, you know, we're definitely going to get more headcount. So the deployment would be, I think, you know, better, you know, to have, you know, the ability to do it more frequently, I would say. But, you know, at least once a week or at least every two weeks, you know, I walk the streets of the Hill, you know, my area with my lieutenant, and, you know, we speak to kids, you know, speak to residents and just kind of get their input. And they love seeing the PD just walking because that's what community policing is, you know, engaging with your residents, just having a conversation, you know.
You and your fellow Hill Alders will have some say in 16 pieces of vacant property that the state is handing over in the Hill.
Correct.
The city. So you got to figure out what to do with those. I guess you've been walking with some people
about
that. Yep.
So I've been walking, and in about 2 weeks, we're going to have a meeting on Rosette Street to talk about that nice big parcel there, you know, and what the community wants.
I'm sorry, you said Rosette Street?
Yes. So Rosette, you know, corner of Rosette and Cedar. So there's a parcel there. So you know, we've already been walking out there, kind of just getting a pulse check on what the community would like to see there. We're looking to have a meeting, you know, in a couple weeks, you know, right where the parcel is, and just, you know, speak to the community, see what, you know, they would like to see there, and then go from there.
All right, Evelyn, any issues? You've already talked about a lot. You talked about mass transit. You talked about Hilda downtown. You talked about policing. Well, anything else on your radar?
Okay. I'd like to see more improvement in reference to communication. Block watches, Hill North.
They seem to
Hill
fade
South
and rise, don't
management
they?
Teams. Yeah. If we can build more, the Hill North, Hill management teams managing more effectively and bringing more of the more diversity to those teams, where then because we have everyone there, the agencies, the businesses, the municipal workers, additionally to that, having the ward committees take their post and important decisions making reference to politics and people that are coming aboard, as well as working effectively with municipal and getting to know more of our department heads, being able to reach more to them, creating a better communication across the board so that we can get things done more effectively.
Great. And Ron Hurt, anything particularly on your radar that we haven't touched on? We've touched on a lot.
Well, we have certainly touched on a lot, and as far as my radar is concerned, I'm looking forward to working with the Alders of New Haven, that we can not only make the Hill a great, safe place to live, work, and have a family, but make New Haven, the all-American city, put us back on the map and let us do not business as usual, but let's do business the way we do it. And with the team that we have, with the Alders that are in place now, and I pray when I come aboard, it'll be even better.
All right, there you got the final word. Thank you so much for joining us today at Dateline New Haven. Thanks to today's guests, Alders Jeanette Morrison, David Reyes, and Evan Rodriguez, and Alder candidate Ron Hurt. We're going to take it out with the Afro-Semitic Experience performing I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free from the group CD A Plea for Peace. They were playing at Star Jacob not too many months ago. Remember, they brought the house down.
Oh, yes.
Now, we all know what it's like to be free. We just got to remember to book our flight. Book your flight with us all day and all night long here at WNHH, New Haven's home for community radio.